Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Let me give you some statistics. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. It's calculated that in the year 2017, over, listen to this, 47,000 Americans died by suicide. And according to the World Health Organization, worldwide, someone kills themselves every 40 seconds.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Sometimes we may feel overwhelmed by the darkness or discouragement in our lives. But today, John reminds us that God's love for you is greater than any darkness, and your life is precious. We're concluding our series with Wings Like Eagles, with John providing biblical perspective on many difficult personal challenges, including today's final discussion on suicide and euthanasia.
Do you realize that in the U.S. there are twice as many suicides as homicides? Perhaps more troubling is the statistic that the highest suicide rate is among men over 75, or that it has been the second leading cause of death for Americans between 15 and 24. These are frightening facts, and each number represents an individual made in the image of God. Some people live very sad, very difficult lives, and many see suicide as the only way out. Thanks for joining me in this series with Wings Like Eagles, as we've considered some very difficult subjects from a biblical perspective. God wants you not to live a life of despair and despondency, but to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not to faint.
If you have your Bible, open it to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, and the first chapter, chapter 1. I'm going to say, first of all, that all human beings are made in the image of God and are equal in dignity. First of all of us are made in the image of God. We tend to forget that. Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, this is creation, first book, first chapter, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And then chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, just one verse, an important verse, verse 6, a verse which has implications in many areas. Genesis 9, verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Why is that? Why is it so wrong to take someone's life? Answer, for God made man in his own image. And the sanctity and the dignity of life arises from that very fact that our Creator, who could make us any way he wanted, he's sovereign, he's all wise, has chosen to make us in his very image. We are image bearers of God. That's a huge subject, one that I'm not going to explore in great detail, but to say this, it means obviously that every human life is valuable and precious. Now, what about specifically a biblical perspective on suicide and euthanasia? Well, first of all, suicide. What is suicide? I think, you know, it's the willful taking of your own life, and it's wrong. Can I say that? It's wrong to take your own life. Why? Because God made you. Your body belongs to God. And God is the one who decides when you die. Therefore, never contemplate suicide. Never threaten suicide. Never attempt suicide. Think of the devastation on family and friends. Some of you know this, who are left when there is a suicide. God gives us life, and it is God's decision, who is much wiser than any of us, to decide when we die. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in Scripture, suicide, Old Testament and New Testament, is always associated with a person's spiritual collapse. Old Testament, think of King Saul. New Testament, think of Judas. Suicides in the Bible, yes, they're there. but they're associated with the person's spiritual collapse. Life is given to us by our Creator, and it's therefore self-evident that suicide is wrong. It's self-murder. It's a violation of being made in the image of God. And if you're contemplating suicide today, let me remind you that your circumstances are not hopeless. You say, yes, they are. You don't understand. No, they're not hopeless. God made you. God loves you. God has plans for you. I say to you, place your hope and your trust in God. Now, can I also say that suicide is not the unforgivable sin? Someone recently was trying to argue with me that suicide is the unforgivable sin. I realize there are people in churches that say suicide is the unforgivable sin. Some would try to say abortion is an unforgivable sin because you've taken the life of another. That's not right. The belief that everyone who commits suicide goes directly to hell, as some teach, is without biblical foundation. It's a misunderstanding of the gospel. What is our salvation based on? Is it based on our works? Is it based on our spirituality? Is it based on us always doing the right thing and always obeying the commandments of God? No, it's not. Written over Scripture is this great word that I say to you over and over again, and we saw it certainly through our study of Romans, is grace. Grace. What's grace? Grace is what you do not deserve. You can't work for it. Yes, it's wrong to commit suicide. Yes, it's wrong to take someone else's life in an abortion or any other way of murder. Of course, that goes without saying. But think of the wonder of the gospel, that when my Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all of my sins. He conquered death, he conquered sin, and he's alive. And when I, as a boy of 12, placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God did an amazing thing, something I certainly didn't deserve. He forgave all of my sins. Not only did he forgive all of my sins, he gave me eternal life. And the promise of the gospel is this, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven and you will never, please hear me, never perish. Nothing, isn't this Paul's argument in Romans 8? There is nothing in the whole universe. There is no circumstance that you can contemplate. There is nothing, including suicide, including abortion, including the greatest of sins, there is nothing which can separate the true believer, I emphasize the true believer, the authentic believer, not someone who merely professes, but there is nothing which can separate the authentic believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, well, they've done wrong, it's disobedient. Yes. You ever done anything disobedient as a believer? Any perfect people around here? Yes. Authentic followers of Jesus Christ sometimes commit serious sins. Who wants to put up their hand and acknowledge it? And when we do so, we don't lose our salvation. Paul says we're sealed with the promised Spirit for the day of our redemption in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4. Often those, I don't profess to be an expert on the subject. I've had some experience as an attorney, as a pastor, regarding suicides. But those who commit suicide are often under extreme stress and depression. I understand we're people of hope. We're people of a new beginning. We're people of a transformation of love rather than despair and self-hatred. Yes. And I would say to anyone who has suicidal thoughts that God loves you, that God has a future for you, and you should never regard suicide as an option. That is not an option. That's a bad option. Your pain, your distress will pass. Look to the Lord Jesus, who's promised to give us all of the help, all of the strength, all of the grace that we need for each day. Now, what about euthanasia? Euthanasia literally means a good or easy death. Euthanasia, sometimes called mercy killing, is the intentional killing by an act or omission of a patient in the course of medical care when the killing is carried out at the patient's request and when the patient is believed by the doctor to have good reasons to be killed because of his or her present or foreseeable medical condition and quality of life. So in euthanasia, the patient is usually killed if the doctor believes the patient's life lacks value. So the logic of euthanasia depends upon the concept that life is sometimes not worth living, at least in the view of the doctor. But is the person who is suffering, is the person who's in pain, really able to make a rational decision to end their life? What about a misdiagnosis? What about temporary depression of the patient? What about pressures by relatives where there's a will? You would say, that would never happen. Which world do you live in? Old Tom's about to die. We used to say in law, where there's a will, there's a relative. I mean, people come flocking out. How long's he gonna live? My, he's hanging on. They've already bought their new car. They've already planned their world cruise. God says, you shall not kill. And the consent of the patient doesn't relieve the killer of the guilt of killing. Now, euthanasia, which is causing a person's death, must be distinguished from doctors, please hear me, allowing a patient to die in peace when the dying process is already well advanced, irreversible, and when death is imminent. So we would draw a distinction. I realize it's not always easy to draw, but we must draw a distinction, and I believe a distinction can be drawn between killing a patient, which is wrong, which is against the commandment of God, and letting a patient die by not prolonging the dying process in cases where the death is both imminent and inevitable. There's a difference there. I think we understand that. So the Christian Medical Society says that dying begins when a person rapidly and irreversibly deteriorates. So when death is imminent, when a person is beyond reasonable hope of recovery, then the person has the right not to have his or her life postponed. There's a difference between killing someone and letting someone die without pursuing extraordinary means to sustain their life for another few days. And under certain circumstances, difficult circumstances, some of you have been in this position, life-sustaining treatment can be withheld or withdrawn if that's the wish of the patient. I've known many people with terminal illness, including my older brother, who lived in the UK, who've died in their homes, surrounded not by masses of medical technology, but dying in their own home, surrounded by loving, caring family and friends. And in these circumstances, the role of the physician, the role of the nurse, the medical profession, is one of healer, not of executioners. That's why we hold the medical profession. We hold doctors and nurses somewhat in awe because God has given them this wonderful ministry, this wonderful role in our society of using them in the healing process rather than being executioners. It's wrong to take human life as each life is sacred and has dignity. We need to remember that, don't we? See, if we forget that we're made in the image of God, it leads to brutalization. It leads to the horrors of abortion, slavery, wars, racism, ethnic cleansing, euthanasia, suicide, assisted suicide, violence, exploitation, and using others. God is the one who gives life. God is the one who decides when each person dies. The psalmist says God's way is perfect. Our times are in his hand. Doesn't that give you tremendous security in life? If the Lord doesn't come, none of us will choose the circumstances in which we die, whether it's a car accident, whether it's a it's a sudden death, whether it's a terminal, drawn out situation. None of us chooses that. We may have our preferences, but one thing we know is that God is good and that God is kind and that God is with us. And we demonstrate our commitment to the sanctity and dignity of life when you lovingly care for that person who's terminally ill. You show your respect for human life and the dignity of all life when you open your home to an unwanted child. When you treat that person who's very different from you and who may have different views of you, can I say even political different views? As you interact with them, you do it with love and respect. You show your respect for human life when you serve breakfast to that homeless person. When you refuse to abort a child, when the doctors say that that child may have a disability, you show your love and respect for human beings when you love and honor your father or mother who has dementia. Isn't that a practical way that we show that every human being is loved by God and cared by God? I want to speak directly to those of you who are discouraged, depressed, possibly thinking of ending your life because you think life is pointless, possibly because you're unable to bear and deal with your hurt and your pain. And I realize I've never experienced such pain and hurt as some of you. Do you remember the song? It's a secular song, very popular. Everyone hurts sometimes. When your day is long and the night is yours alone, when you're sure you've had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go, because everyone cries and everyone hurts sometimes. If you're on your own in this life, the days and nights are long. When you think you've had too much of this life to hang on, well, everyone hurts sometimes. Everyone cries and everyone hurts sometimes. So hold on, hold on, hold on. It's a great song, but it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we'd like to ask the writers, I would like to ask the writers, but who do you hold on to? Who do you hold on to when the future seems hopeless? Because some people that I've spoken to and that you've spoken to feel that life is absolutely hopeless, that it'd be far better to end their life than to go through this pointless, agonizing, terrible life. What do you do? Who do you hold on to when your pain is too great? Let me remind you that not only are you created by God, we saw that God loves you. And the God who loves you, can you hear this, is a good God. Oswald Chambers says that the root of all sin is to doubt that God is good. You doubt that God is good. You say, well, if God is good, he would take away my pain. If God is good, he wouldn't have arrange these circumstances. I don't think he's a good God. He is a good God. I understand you don't feel that. We've all been there when we think God should have arranged things differently, but I'm to remind you that the God who made you is a God who loves you and a God who is good. He's always good and he always loves you. And this great God who created you loves you more than you could ever know. You say, how do you know that? Because he sends his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into your world to come and to die for people just like you, rising again. And if you receive this Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, he will give you eternal life. Yes, an abundant life, eternal life. I'm not saying that all of your difficulties will immediately disappear. No, but he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the resources. He'll give you his presence. He will give you eternal life and you will never, ever perish. It's not a matter of you holding on. He will hold you and he will hold you fast and he'll never, ever let you go. He'll never desert you. He'll be always with you when your friends and your family may have abandoned you. The Lord Jesus is with you. That is the promise of the gospel. That my Lord Jesus Christ says to me, John, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he says that to those who are in the family of God. I realize that life is sometimes painful. I realize it's very difficult. I possibly couldn't identify with your particular struggle. That may be the case, but God does. He's a God who suffered. Our Lord Jesus Christ is known as the man of sorrows. And remember, do not ever contemplate suicide. Don't attempt it. Don't think about it. Our enemy, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. Remember that. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to give us life, abundant life, eternal life, if you place your trust in him. And as you do that each day, as each day you surrender your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, speaking to the people, and I close with this, I echo his words. He says, I've set before you life and death. Choose life and you will live. Will you do that? Will you choose life and live? Do you say, why? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your trust in this God. Wait on him. He will renew your strength, and you'll mount up with wings like eagles. Father, guide us, we pray. We all need a touch from you today as we think of these serious subjects. But they bring us back to the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that not only do you save us and forgive our sins, you give us eternal life. And you promise that you give us eternal life and we shall never perish. And no one is able to snatch us out of your hand. We thank you that you hold us and you hold us fast in all of the circumstances of life. We praise your great name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the conclusion of our series called With Wings Like Eagles, Soaring High in Life's Challenges. During these times of division and uncertainty, many people are wondering how to cope. We're to remember the promise in Isaiah 40:31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Here at The Verdict, we want to help encourage you to live with a God-centered perspective and find hope and peace no matter your circumstances. That's why we're offering John's book, Trusting God in Tough Times. In it, John walks you through real challenging questions, like why should I trust God? And why does my perspective on God make a difference in real life? So don't wait. Request your free copy of Trusting God in Tough Times today by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And as we enter this season of giving, would you consider helping us continue sharing these daily biblical messages by giving a donation of any amount? Your faithful support will help bring the gospel to new listeners, and you can give your financial gift today by going to theverdict.org. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. In addition to these programs, John presents a weekly podcast called Avizandum, where he shares his personal thoughts on relevant topics like the role of Christian schools, the uniqueness of Israel, and how to engage the culture for Christ. You can hear it all by following or subscribing to The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I trust you agree that it's wrong to take human life, as each life is sacred and has dignity. You may be hurting today. Remember that God not only made you, God loves you. And he's made you for a purpose. So don't despair. Today, look up to our Lord Jesus Christ. Mount up with wings like eagles. This series has been an amazing journey. Next time, we're going to begin a brand new series on the life of King David. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.